It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, your host today. And, you know, today I want to talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. I want to share with you that I believe with all of my heart we're living in the last days. In the book of Matthew, Jesus gave his disciples a parable called the parable of the 10 virgins. And this would tell the disciples what it would be like in the time that preceded the second coming of Jesus. Now, we know it would end up being more important and relevant to us than it actually was to the disciples, because I believe we're living in that day. In May of 1948, when the nation of Israel was born and reborn, and God brought them back into existence after being extinct for almost 2,000 years, this had never happened before. A nation's born again, and it comes to life just to fulfill the prophecies found in God's Word to tell us we're living in the final hour. And so Jesus gives this parable. He tells them what it's like, and he tells about, he compares the church to 10 virgins that are getting ready for a wedding. And while the bridegroom was away, he was preparing a place for his bride. The bridal party, which consisted of these 10 virgins, they all became sleepy and they all fell asleep. Let me reiterate that point. They all fell asleep. Now, I believe these 10 virgins represent the church world today. There's going to be 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins. The wise are those who are righteous. The foolish are those who are just religious. They don't have the Holy Spirit in their heart and in their life. And then something happened. At midnight, the cry went out, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming." And the Bible says they all woke up. You know, I tell you, friend, there's coming a day when this whole world is going to wake up. It's very sleepy now. But there's coming a day when Jesus is going to come back to this earth and he's going to judge the living and the dead. The 5 wise trimmed their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. But the other 5 had no oil in their lamps. And eventually they went off to buy oil. And while they were gone, the bridegroom came. And only the 10 whose lamps were trimmed had the oil, which represents the Holy Spirit. Only the wise were ready to meet the bridegroom. Now, I believe with all of my heart that we're going through a real shaking in our world today. The COVID-19 pandemic was a huge wake-up call to our world to let us know that we desperately need God. And we're living in times where the world has become so against the church and so against godly things. And I just want to share with you a few truths today to help us understand the times in which we live and what we need to do. The first thing we need to do is we need to commit ourselves to understanding the times in which we live. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, the Bible says this about a group of people called the sons of Issachar. It says, "Of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. Their chiefs were 200, and all their kinsmen were at their command." My friend, the sons of Issachar, what an amazing group of people. The Bible tells us that they understood the times, but not only understood the times, they knew what Israel should do. We need today men and women in Washington, D.C. who understand the times in which we live, and not only understand, but they also need to know what we as America should do. You might say today, "Pastor Keith, do you really believe we're living in the final hours?" Church, I believe it with all of my heart. The second thing we need to do is we need to stop complaining and start praying. Commit yourself to be a prayer warrior. It said in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, and I love this verse, God said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." One of the most powerful things you and I can do in these critical hours in which we live is to commit to be a prayer warrior. You remember in Acts chapter 12 when Peter was thrown into prison for preaching the gospel? What happened? Well, the church began to pray. And in Acts 12, verse 5, this is what it says. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Now look what happens in verse 7. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Get up! Quick, get up!" he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists, and then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And the angel told him, and Peter followed him out of the prison. Now Peter was thrown in jail. And what does the church do? They begin to pray. And then what happens? An angel walks him right out of the jail. Peter goes to the house where the prayer meeting is going on. He knocks on the door, and the Bible says a young girl named Rhoda, she answered the door, and she goes and tells the crowd, "It's Peter, he's out the door." Now remember, they're inside that place praying for Peter. And now the lady comes and says, "Peter, he's at the door." And the people say to her, "You are out of your mind." They tell her it must be Peter's angel. Wow. The third thing I believe we need to do because of the critical times in which we live, neighbor, is to share the gospel because the time is short. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28, it says this. It says, "We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ." See, the third thing we need to do in light of the times in which we live is to share the gospel with those around us. The time is short. That's the reason I'm doing this radio program today, to have the opportunity to share with thousands who are listening today the good news gospel of Jesus Christ. It's our only hope. It's our only hope, and it's our only hope for our nation. The Titanic was a ship that was supposed to be unsinkable, kind of like America. But on April 15, 1912, on her maiden voyage, the Titanic struck an iceberg, sinking the ship, and over 1,500 people lost their lives. Now imagine for a moment if you had been on board. Imagine you knew that the ship was going to sink, and you were trying to tell everyone to get off the boat, and everybody else is just listening to the music. I'm telling you today, God's word declares this ship we're on, it's going to sink. It's not a matter of if, but when. Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's going to one day judge the living and the dead. And the only thing that's going to last is what we've done for Jesus Christ. So we have to commit to being a people that pray and commit to being a people that share the gospel. And then the fourth thing is this today. Seek his kingdom and not yours. It's so easy for us to get caught up building our own kingdom. But Jesus said this in Matthew 6:33, one of the greatest verses in all of the Bible. He said, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So where do we go from here? What do? We become a kingdom seeker. Seek his kingdom and not our own. Jesus told his followers, "You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you." Neighbor, it's so easy to get where we are seeking things in this life. The world is always there to offer us a new set of things that we can go after, whatever's shiny, whatever's appealing to our senses. But God says, no, don't do that. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek his righteousness. And then all these things, God knows what you need. He'll add those. He'll take care of that part. You just got to seek his kingdom. Satan wants you to be so focused on the future that you become useless for today. You're overwhelmed and fatigued. And God says this, "I'll give you sufficient grace. It'll come each and every day." I've often wondered when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and spent 40 years there in the wilderness, God would give them manna to feed them every day. They would wake up in the morning and there would be the new manna. But it would only last for the one day. If they tried to store it away, it would become moldy and useless. And I believe God was telling us that through the manna, that is a picture today of we got to not trust in our provision, but we got to trust in the God of our provision. And He's able to take care of all that we need. And then my final thought today is this. The outlook depends on the uplook. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says this, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Where do we go from here? What do? The outlook depends on the uplook. The writer of Hebrews said, "Fix your eyes on Jesus and not upon this world." Friend, in Hebrews 13 and verse 14, tells us this world is not our permanent home, but we're looking forward to a home that is yet to come. Even if I'm totally wrong about the fact that I believe we're living so close to the end, there's no cheating of the calendar. All of our days are coming soon when we stand before the God of the ages to give an account of how we've lived our life. I want to invite you today to be like the sons of Issachar, to be discerning of the times, and to be a prayer warrior, to share the gospel with everyone around us, to be a kingdom builder, and invest in God's kingdom, and keep your eyes on Jesus, and you won't be disappointed. You know, Jesus gave us signs in Matthew chapter 24. The disciples were walking along one day and they saw the temple. They were remarking about how beautiful the temple was. And Jesus told them, "There's coming a day when not one stone will be left upon the other. It'll totally be destroyed." And they equated it with the end of the world. They said, "When will this be? What will be the signs of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus began to give them the signs that will appear before His coming. The first one was, "Many shall come in My name, claiming I am the Christ." We have seen that happen, friend, as today false Christs have arisen throughout this world, proclaiming to be God and His Son and Messiah. But there's coming a false Christ who will one day come, the Antichrist, and He's going to come claiming to be the Christ. He went on to say, "And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. But don't be alarmed. All this must happen." You see, friend, today war is all across our world today. In the Ukraine, Russia is battling with Ukraine. In the land of Israel, today they are fighting against all their enemies. In Gaza, they have Hamas. On the north, they have Hezbollah. They have Russia, and in parts of Syria, Russian soldiers. They're totally surrounded by their enemies. And Jesus told us that was just another sign of His coming. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. He told us there'd be earthquakes and famines in diverse places. But all this has to happen before the end must come. Friends, some of the great earthquakes taking place in the world today, some of the famine taking place across the world and across Africa today, merely lets us know that we're living in the final days before Jesus Christ comes back to this world. I don't know today about you, friend, but you can find peace of mind and come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you just tuned to this today and you just stopped at the dial and you heard me speaking today and something caught your attention about what I've been sharing. I want you to know today you can have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. He sent His Son to die for every wrong thing you would ever do. And today, He wants you to invite Him into your heart. It's really easy. You simply say, "God, I believe that Jesus is your Son, that He died on the cross for my sin and paid the price for all the wrong I have done. I receive that today by faith, and I want to receive You into my life. And I believe in Jesus' name that You will save me." And I believe today your life can be changed, friend, and He can give you a brand new life in Him. Thank you for listening today on Fresh Oil. I'd love to hear from you. Drop me a note. God loves you with an everlasting love.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.